following the second line from the bottom of Chof Amud Beis. We discussed yesterday the idea, if you have a Kohen Gadol who is going to have to do, who is in a position of having to do Yibum with his sister-in-law who is an Almona. We said, in the end we said, if she's an Almona min HaNisurin, if we said if she was already married, full-fledged marriage to her original husband, then there's no question, it's also because then it's an Esa and a Loisa. There's an Esa that he has to marry a Psula, there's a Loisa that he can't marry an Almona, versus the Esa of Yibum. The Esa of Yibum can't be done for the Esa and a Loisa. We said, what happens if she's an Almona only min HaErusin, so she's still a Psula, then you only have the Loisa, that he can't marry an Almona. On the face of it, that should be overridden by the Esa to do Yibum. And we went through a few possibilities, and then we came up in the end saying that no, the difference is that really Midaraisa should be allowed. Midrabanan, we don't allow it because we don't want, he's going to end up doing Biashnia. He may end up doing Biashnia, continue living with her, which then he's doing allowed without the corresponding Esa. So now further on that topic. By the way, Tosfos brings up an interesting question. What about if you have a woman who's also by an Esa? Until now, we've been talking about Chai Vekaris, Chai Velavin. What happens if the woman is also by an Esser? Classic example of that would be the Torah says that you're allowed to marry a third generation Mitzri or a Domi who converts. We'll have more about that later in the Masechta Nayin. By implication, before that, it's also to marry them. But it's a Lava Bamikol Esser, which is considered an Esser. But what happens if the Yavama, the first or second generation Mitzri or a Domi? It's an Esa. It's a lav, but it's the kind of lav which is it's a lava bomb we call Esa. The Torah never says in so many words, don't marry a first generation Mitzri or Adomi or second generation. It just says only the third generation is mutter from which we understand that the first and second are also. So does that work? Tosfos discusses that you don't do Yibum with her. You don't do Yibum with her. We do it the same way as we said that the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibum with the Almona min HaNisurin, Midaraisa, because there's Esa versus Esa. By the same token, one Esa can't override another Esa. So therefore, by the same token, even Midaraisa, there can't be Yibum in this case. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says obviously you're not allowed to do Yibum. It is Osir, but for Dievet, if he was over and Miyabim, then, like the Kohen Gadol over here, we're saying that b'di'evit it would work. It would be chal. No, kedushin or chal, there's no question about that. The question is whether it's an effective yibum that now no chalitza needs to be done, and as we're going to talk about now, does it pass to the tzara? Yeah. So itmar. So now they said there's a discussion. B'es Kohen Gadol ba'almona. This continuing on this case, the Kohen Gadol has relations with an almona as yibum. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, they argue on this. So one says that she does not pater her tzara, meaning in other words, her tzara is still going to need chalitza. And the other one says she does pater her tzara, meaning that she is considered married, at least to the extent kedushin or tofus. You don't need chalitza at this point, neither for her nor for her tzara. He has to give her a get. He's not allowed to stay married to her, but that's it. Marsha, by the way, discusses why are we only discussing here Sarasa? Why aren't we discussing whether the woman herself is pater or not? And he says there is the possibility actually that everybody might agree that she herself is pater, and the machlokes is only about the tzara. Singmar points out, Balmana min Nisurin, kula amalei plugi delei patera. There's no question if she's an almana after Nisurin, if she's already, in other words, not a basola, then everybody would agree that for sure his doing Yibum with her does not pater her tzara, because we said before, there's no question, the Esa of Yibum cannot be doicha, the Loisa plus the Esa of marrying an Almona who is not a Psula. So therefore, there's no question that that's not a good Yibum. The machlokas would be, like we said yesterday, about an Almona where she'd only had Kiddushin. No Nisurin and therefore no Bia. Manda Alma Preteres, so the opinion that says that that this Bia, even though it was also pasters her from Chalitza and pasters Utsara, also Esa V'dacha is Loisese. Fine, because simple case, an Esa overrides a Loisese. Yes, we said Midrabbanon, you shouldn't do it because Bia Shnia versus Bia Rishona, but Midaraisa, it works. The one who says that it does not passer, he says, in this case, loy osi eser v'docher es loy seser. In this case, we do not say that the eser overrides the loy seser. Why? Because we said yesterday, kiven de epshe b'chalitza. Because you don't have to. We said yesterday, we said Rish Lakish's rule yesterday, that if you're able to be mekayim the eser without infringing on the loy seser, then you have to do it that way. In this case, do chalitza instead of yibum, and then there you're not infringing on anything. Gemara says, "Maisvi, I have a contradiction. What are you telling me that there's an opinion that says that even in this case where it's only an esev versus a lav, in other words, where it's a sola, that you're saying that there's a possibility that deraisa doesn't work." Again, the same braisa we quoted yesterday that says that if they were oivu, we were talking about a different case, the lav, and we were talking about krushchokha or whatever. But still, the same principle applies that it's only an isu lav. And therefore, and if they're boiled, then they are koine b'diavad. Okay, it's a contradiction. We have to say that it does work d'oraisa, that it definitely passes. In that case, maybe say that this whole idea slogs up Rish Lakish's idea. Rish Lakish is saying that you have a choice. If you have a choice if you have two ways of doing the essa, one which will infringe on the lav and one which will not, do it in the way which doesn't. If we're saying, you mean balu kanu implies, even though you do have the option of doing chalitza, nevertheless, if you do yibum, it does work, which goes to show, even though you have that option of doing the essay in a different way, the Torah is still empowering you to do the essay in the other way and override the law. So doesn't that shlug up for shlugish? The answer is no, amalach of shlokish, ki amina ano hechad mekayim mitzvah. You know what I'm talking about, where either way, the same exact mitzvah is going to be done. Here, when there's a possibility of doing yibum, and instead you're doing chalitza, that's not really considered the same mitzvah. It's sort of like a b'diavadik way of doing it. So therefore, no. When do we say if it's possible to do the mitzvah a different way, then do it a different way? We're talking about, for example, kolayim v'tzitzis. You have a linen garment. If you don't have tchelas anyway, and instead if you don't have tchelas anyway, so either way So you don't have to use a woolen string. So instead, you have a choice. You're going to use linen strings or you're going to use woolen ones, and you have either one available. Go ahead, put linen strings on, and then you're mekayim the esser without being over on the loitzes. And either way, you're accomplishing the mitzvah the same way. As opposed to over here, doing chalitza instead of yibum is not really accomplishing the mitzvah in the same way. It's sort of the second best option. So therefore, yes, the din therefore would be that you're not supposed to do yibum l'chatchila in this case, because it is after all nisulav. But if you did b'diavad, then the Torah is empowering you that the esser can be doyach the lois esser, and at least the yibum has been accomplished, with all of that entails.
So it would not recommend this to begin with.
No, of course not. It's still nisulav. But if it's already done, yeah. And actually, no. So that's the thing. We're saying that in the end, we're saying that midaraisa, there actually wouldn't be a problem with it. It's only midrabanan. The whole problem is only midrabanan. The rabbanan are not going to allow you to do the lav over here, even though it means that you're going to be reduced to doing the essay in the second best way, which is chalitza, because we're afraid of bi'a shniya or bi'a rishona.
Down the road, basically.
Yeah.
That's the problem, because
you said
after
Almon.
That's
the problem of Yibum. Right. Yibum, yeah. But the second one, there's no mitzvah of Yibum being done anymore. The mitzvah has already been done. And Mepharshim discussed over here that... Right. Mepharshim
every time.
Right, every time. It'll be the same lab, yeah. Mepharshim also discussed, based on the previous Gemara, whether in fact, when it comes to the Isurim of Kohen, whether in fact this business that we're talking about, there was only a lav involved, maybe only applies to the things with Yisraelim, with the Mamzeres or Nesina or whatever. Maybe it does not apply to the thing with the Kohen. And we did say yesterday that there's a pasuk Kedoshim Yulei Lekeim, which is a mitzvah eser. So the Machlokes Rishonim, do we say that in fact does apply to the cases where Kohenim are not allowed to marry certain women, or does it only apply to the previous Isurim, which are talking about Kohenim becoming Tamei? If you say that it applies also to the subsequent circum about Kohen and marrying women that are possible to them, then yeah, then that's a straightforward Esther Veloz Esther case. Okay. Now getting back to, so we said the Mishnah had mentioned there's Issu Kedusha, and then the Mishnah had mentioned Issu Mitzvah and Issu Kedusha. So we've been discussing all this time Issu Kedusha, the various things of the Kohenim, the Mamzeres to the Israel, etc. Now we're going to get into Shniyas. which is it's a mitzvah, which is Dirabanan. The Rabbanan restricted you from marrying certain women because, as we're going to go through the sugya, we'll see, because there's a concern you may confuse them with women who are also to you Daraisa. Amar Rava, Remez l'shnias min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we have in the Torah Remez for this concept of shnias? Shenema, because the pasuk says, Kishpola te'evet ha'el osu anshe aretz. All of these disgusting things, the arayas that it lists there, and the parasha before that, the people, the Knanim in Eretz Yisrael did, and that's why they're being kicked out. Now, the word ha'el would usually be translated ha'el as meaning these, but the word for that would usually be ha'ele. Ha'el, kashas. The word el implies tough ones, hard ones, powerful ones. Mikal, the ikarakas, which implies that there are less powerful ones. Umayni or shnias? What are the less powerful yitzurim? The shnias. Well, so there, one second. Well, umay mashma de ha'el lishna de kasher. Where do we see that the word el means tough, means hard? Dichtivet elei ha'aref lokach. Because the pasuk describes Nebuchadnezzar taking the heads of the Jewish people into Galus, that he took the powerful ones of the land. So we see that el means powerful. And yes, it's with a yod, but still it means the same thing without a yod as well. But yeah, the Yaakov, that in Shulchan Aruch, it says, in fact, based on this Gemara, and it's brought in all over the place, all sorts of siddurs, that therefore, whenever we refer to Hashem as Kael or as Elikim, it's always, you have in mind that it means the powerful one. Elikim means the ultimate power, and Kael also means the powerful one.
How can we say here that it means powerful for the Shneers?
No, so it means on the contrary. It means the Rishonis, or whatever you want to call them, the ones that are also Deraita, are powerful, is a powerful Iser. The Shnias are less of a powerful, are less of a powerful thing, basically. Yeah. The Gemara asks, Lema pliga d'Rav Levi. Should we say that this Drosha that we're saying, that Ha'el means powerful, that this disagrees with Rav Levi? The Amr Rav Levi, Kasha Oinshin Shal Midas, Yosem Oinshin Shal Arayas. He says that the punishment from the Eibishter for cheating on measurement, having false weights in measurement, is even greater than the punishment for Arayas. Shezen nema behen el, vezen nema behen ele. By Arayas it says as kolat Eibis ha'el. By measurements it says ha'ela. It says ele ki tayr vas Hashem kol oisa ele.
And how do we know that?
And ele kosher ve'ele kosher me'el. The word ale means tough. And Ela means even harder than that. So on the contrary, what are we saying that? What are we trying to say that Ela implies the toughest possible, and then there's weaker ones? On the contrary, it sounds like in that case, by Arayas, the Torah should have used the word Ela, and then we would say based on that, the Arayas are Ela, and then there's Ela, the weaker ones, which are the Shneers.
But why do we say that Eli is stronger than El?
The Pashto, because it's a longer word. It includes the word Ela and it has the hay as well. Okay, Gemara says so that's the answer, actually. The answer is ale kosher, the ale kosher male. You're right, actually. The word ale does mean tough. So by Arayas, when it says kias kalatevis ale, it means that they're very harsh, they're a very strong thing.
Yeah.
But ale is even stronger than that. So both can be correct. We can be saying kias kalatevis ale, which implies that there are weaker te'evis, which are the Arayas, which are the Shneers. And we can also be using the word Ela by Midos to say that Midos, in a way, are even worse than Arayas, as we're going to get to in a second. Question is, first of all, though, before that, by Arayas, Nami Huxiv Ela, where by Arayas also uses the word Ela. A few psukim later, Ki Kolasha Yasim Mikolasha Evisa Ela. And the answer is, okay, the Hahulam Utim Midos Mikoris. That Ela is coming to tell us that only Arayas are Chayiv Koris. The pasuk continues, V'nichrasu. You should know, even though midos are also called te'eva, a person who has false weights and measurements, is called te'eva. Rashi brings over there on Chumash, he's called sonri, meshukas, te'eva, several other derogatory names. Nevertheless, though, it's not chayev karis. That's what the word ela by Arayas. So basically what we have is, ale by Arayas teaches us that there are harsher Arayas and then there are less harsh ones. Ela by midos teaches us that the punishment for false midos is worse than for Arayas even, in a way, which we're going to see in a second. On the other hand, though, the Ela by Arayas tells us, on the other hand, when it comes to Arayas, there's Kodesh, when it comes to Midas, there's not. Ela mai chumrayu, so in that case, what's the harshness? Yeah, no, different words. We have three different words. We have Ela by Arayas, we have Ela by Arayas, and we have Ela by Midas.
Right.
Each one teaches us a different
Ela
thing.
Ela by Midas, Nei by Arayas.
Teach us two different things. One teaches us that that midos in a way are worse than arayas. False measurements are worse in a way than arayas, as we're going to say now. The ela by arayas teaches us that, on the other hand, the actual chiyuv kares only exists by arayas, not by midos. Ela my chumra. Okay, well, then what's the chumra of midos? If you're telling me that only arayas, chiyuv kares, midos are not, in what way is midos worse?
Right.
The answer is hani efshe b'tshuva, hani lo efshe b'tshuva. The difference is arayas, the person is able to do tshuva. Okay, we said in Chagiga sometimes you can have more with l'yuchaliska, and if there's a child born from it, or a mamzer, or you ask the woman to her husband or whatever, but in principle, at least the person can do tshuva. And hani lo efshe b'tshuva. If a person had false weights and measurements and was selling and buying and selling with that for years, he can't. It's harder for him to do full tshuva because how can he possibly know who he stole from, who he cheated all these years. Lamaisa, what the Gemara says, okay, is you take the money and you use it for public works projects and whatever, and that way everybody can have enough from them, and eventually the people who were cheated will get. But it's not really. We talked about that in Chagiga in the same connection, yeah. But so in a way, like with Arias, if there's no babies involved, or you know, if she doesn't become also to her husband like that, yeah, a person can do tshuva, and 100% the effects of it will be taken away. Mashenkin over here, you can't really get rid of the effects of it 100%, really. Yeah, but only if they were given hatsura from Malkus. With Mrs. Bastin, they tell them to do tshuva beforehand. I don't know if with Malkus they do, but no. So that's one possibility where we know this concept of shnius is from this word el. Rabbi Hoda says that we learn it from a different pasuk in Kehelas. The pasuk describes Shlomo Melech, the izain, the chiker. Izain literally means something having to do with ears. The chiker, and he checked, and he searched out. Tikkun mishalim harbe, and he arranged many mishalim. What does this mean? The Amar Ola, Amar Rav Elazar, Kodim Shabbat Shlomo, before Shlomo HaMelech came along, the Torah was like a basket that has no ears, meaning handles. It's very hard to handle such a basket. Ad Shabbat Shlomo V'Asa La'aznayim, until Shlomo came and made handles for it, and made it, in other words, much easier to grasp. So he made Gzeres, he made these Takanas of Shnius, which now, because of that, it makes it much easier to keep the dinim d'oraita. Now, you have to stay away even from the shnius. You're not going to come to accidentally be over on the isurim d'oraita.
But if this is a remnant to shnius, and it's a remnant outside the court, this is a
yeah. Well, that's what we're going to be saying, and we're going to be saying in a little bit that it's the whole thing is the rabbanon. Yeah. Rabbi Oshia Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Oshia says have a different pasuk also from Shlomo Melech that expresses this idea. Pra'ehu, make it bigger or uncover it. Like Meloshin Gadol Pera, like a nazir grows his hair long. Al Tavar Boy, don't transgress against it. Stay May Olav, move away from him, va'avur, and pass by. Which means, in other words, so make the Torah bigger, add more gdorim, add more isurim on top of the isurim d'araisa in order that you move away from it and don't end up transgressing. Baal Tosef would be if we were to say that these shnias are also daraisa. There's a new mitzvah in the Torah that says you're not allowed to marry the shnias, but we're not. We're saying it's dirabanan as a siag for the Torah.
Whatever's authorized, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
Without changing.
Right. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi, Moshel the Rav Oshi Almar Javadoma. This Moshel, to what can we compare this that Rav Oshi is saying about this pasuk Pra'ehu Al Tavar, that you need to guard the Torah in order to prevent transgression. It's like the other Meshamer Paragus. It's like a person who's guarding an orchard. Meshamer Machutz call it Meshamer. If he watches from outside to make sure nobody gets in, then he's able to guard the whole thing. Nobody will ever get in. Meshamer Bufnim, but if he only watches on the inside, so when somebody can infiltrate and only then does he stop him, Shalafanav Meshamer, he's able to guard what's in front of him, Shalachavein Meshamer, and he can't guard what's behind him.
Should apply that to the bank and Israel.
True. So the point is, in other words, the Chachamim had to make these Gdorim to begin with, not you're going to come into the Geder and then we're going to have to make sure that you don't accidentally marry a close relative. You want to make sure that you don't even come in the first place.
From the outside.
However, the Gemara points out, "V'hadar Rav Ashi Bedusa." This that we're saying that Rav Ashi said is Bedusa. Literally, Bedusa means a fiction, which means generally speaking, we understand it to mean when the Gemara calls something Bedusa, it means Rav Ashi didn't actually say that. his Talmudim heard something in his name and misunderstood it. No, because we're going to point out the Marshal is not at all accurate. Sometimes instead of Bedusa, sometimes the Gemara uses the word Barusa, which is more of a respectful way of saying, like, this doesn't belong in the Bismedrash, take it outside. Either way, actually, even so, in a number of places in Chassidus, it points out, you know, everything that we're learning over here, everything in the Gemara is still Chmoso Ratzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same Edishter who gave us the Torah, the same Edishter gave us this idea, and also told us that we should consider it Bedusa, that it's not really the full truth. Why? Hasam shall have fun of me and Mishnama, because in the case, in the marshal, fine, you let the guy in, but at least you're able to watch what's in front of you and make sure he doesn't get anything. Hacha, Ilav Shnius, Paga Be'erva Gufa. Here it's even worse. If it weren't for the Shnius, it's not just the guy is in the garden. He's even going to go grab what's in front of you and you won't be able to stop him because, for example, you're going to be allowed to marry a second-level relative. You're going to wind up marrying your close relative also because you're going to confuse them. Rav Kahana Amameh Hacha, Rav Kahana says here's another source for this idea of Shnius. The Pasuk says, "Mishmarti mes mishmarti." You should guard my garden, which means asum mishmeres l'mishmarti. Make a guard fence around what I've guarded you from. I've prevented you from marrying the Arayas. You put a guard for the fence around that to stay away even from the Shnius. Amar Abaye l'Rav Yosef, hal deraisa. And what do you mean? In that case, then the concept of Shnius is deraisa. We know for a fact that Shnius is only dirabanan. The answer is okay. Daraisa appears shirabanan. Fine. The concept of mishmeres is daraisa. The Chacham explain which relatives exactly are and aren't also. How does that help? Kol Torah nami appears shirabanan. That's the whole Torah is like that. We have Torah shirabchsam and Torah shirabpeh. Ela midrabanan. So no, the whole thing is midrabanan. Across smachta ba'alma. This pasuk with shmarta mitzvah shmarti is only an asmachta. Rishonim discuss, actually, Rishonim have different opinions. Does this mean that the whole concept of making a mishmeret is itself only Dirabanan? Or is it the Torah tells Chachamim to make a mishmeret? What the mishmeret is in each individual case is up to the Chachamim. In this case, for example, the Chachamim named the Shlomer and decided the mishmeret has to be the Shnius that we're going to start discussing.
So the mishmeret is, the concept is Midoraisa.
According to the Rambam and the Ramban both hold that it's Midoraisa, but there are other
specific details
of Dirabanan. But there are other Mepharshim who actually explain that it means that what the Gemara means to say is the whole concept of making a mishmeret for Chalal is only Dirabanan. Tanarabanan. We learn in a Braisa. Mahem Shnius. What exactly are these Shnius that we've been talking about? And here comes the fun part. I have a family tree over here that I copied from Steinsaltz's Gemara, which we can hopefully use to keep track of what we're talking about over here.
Which way do we all bow?
Aim Imai, number one is his mother's mother. The mother of a person's mother is also tamed Eraisa. His mother's mother is also tamed Rabbanan. In this diagram, by the way, any of the ones... His grandmother, yeah. Any of the ones where the head is black are also Eraisa. Any of the ones where the head is a thick circle is also Midrabbanan, as a Shnia. And any of the ones where it's a thin circle is Mutter. So Aim Imai, the Aim Aviv, and his father's mother. The Eishas Avi Aviv, and his... And his father's father's wife, so his great grandmother on his father's side, the Eishes Avi Imoy, and mother's father's wife,
paternal grandmother.
Well, we're not necessarily grandmother because that we already said Aim Imoy and Aim Aviv. This would be, in other words, a step grandmother on either side, where your grandfather on either side remarried a second wife or whatever, this is the one we're talking about. Both of those are awesome. The Eishes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'Eim, and the your father's brother on his mother's side only, his wife. So your father has a half-brother on his mother's side. The half-brother on the father's side, his wife is also Midoraisa. The half-brother on the mother's side, his wife is also Midrabanan. The Eishes Achi Ha'Eim Min Ha'Av, and then the same kind of thing with your mother, her brother. Well, this is even on the father's side. We're going to discuss later on Amud Beis. What about the mother's brother on the mother's side? We'll get to that. But the mother's brother on the father's side, his wife, V'Kalas B'nai, and your son's daughter-in-law, so your granddaughter-in-law, V'Kalas B'itai, and your daughter's daughter-in-law, However, umuta adam be'eshes chamim, a person is allowed to marry his father-in-law's wife. So again, we're not talking about his mother-in-law, that's also min ha-tara. We're talking about, again, his father-in-law remarried or had a second wife or whatever. You would be allowed to marry her.
Father-in-law's wife.
Now, actually, Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that says that, no, it's actually also because of Maris Ayin, because people are not going to realize it's going to look like his mother-in-law. It would be more than a Dirabanan, of course. Well, it wouldn't be one of the Shnias we're saying over here. It would be also Mishum Maris Ayin. Is the halacha like that or not? There's actually a Machlokes Rishonim on that. Tosfos over here quotes that in Provincia, in Provence, in the south of France, one time there was a guy who was preparing a chasana to marry his stepmother-in-law, and Rabbi Natan made him call off the wedding. On the other hand, the Sfardish Rishonim, such as the Ritva, say that in their places it was a common, not common maybe, but whatever, it was an accepted thing. It's allowed, la halacha. Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. And the Mephoshim on Shulchan Aruch discuss that fine, you know, if you're married, but Yeved, not necessarily will we make you separate. People might think the children are Mamzerim or whatever, but I saw an interesting thing, actually. Moshe Feinstein wanted to say that maybe, given that it's only a matter of Maris Ayin, maybe this issue doesn't really apply nowadays, because nowadays a person is usually not married, a person is not married to two wives at once, Cherem Deber Negoshim. So maybe there's less of an issue that people are not going to confuse a stepmother-in-law with a real mother-in-law, especially if he and other post-Machronin talk about, especially if she's younger. You know, imagine the father-in-law had a midlife crisis and married a woman half his age, and, you know, we hear such things. Levite or Moshe doesn't want to pass in that way in practice, but he...
Maybe a son-in-law had a midlife crisis and married a woman twice.
That could also be, yeah. Yeah, anything is possible.
Everybody can.
Yeah. Anyway, but whatever it is, in practice, he says, you know, I'm not going to go be master or something like that, just out of the blue like that. But he does bring that svara.
In that case, what was his wife still alive, or was something?
The pashtus, since you can't be married to two women nowadays, it has to be after his wife passed away or he divorced her.
In the
times of the Gemara, yeah, it could be two wives at the same time, yeah. So mutar be'eshes chamim, who be'eshes chorgoy, also a person is allowed to marry his stepdaughter-in-law. So if he has a stepson, his wife has a son from a previous marriage, and she's married, he's allowed to the person is allowed to marry his stepson's ex-wife. But also b'bas chorgoy, but on the other hand, he's not allowed to marry his stepdaughter. Because that would be the daughter of his wife, which is actually also Midaraisa. The Gemara will ask in a second why what this is doing here in the list of Shnias, which are the Rabbanan. But anyway, so he's not allowed to marry Bas Chorgoy, his stepdaughter. V'Chorgoy Mutar B'Ishtoy. Conversely, his stepson is allowed to marry his own wife. Again, not the wife who is his mother, obviously, but another wife. U'Bichoy, and the stepson is also allowed to marry his daughter. So effectively then a person's stepdaughter-in-law, his stepson's wife, can tell him, "Ani muteraslach uviti asuralach. I would be mutter to you, but my daughter is also." Why? Because she is mutter. We just said there's no issue. It's a stepson's wife. The daughter, her daughter, would be also because of minatora. Because the Torah says a person is not allowed to marry his wife's granddaughter. That's minatora. So there you have a rare case where the closer, the generation closer to you, you're allowed to, and the generation one further down, you're also.
Even if it's a step-granddaughter?
Yeah, because it's still, even if it's a step-granddaughter, it means it's your wife's granddaughter. It's her natural granddaughter. He's your stepson in the sense that your wife was previously married. So what do you mean? Bas Chorgoy Daraisi. What are you mentioning? This business about the daughter of the stepson. That's also Daraisi. Just give us Bas Bnav, that's Bas Bita. The Torah says, you know, I'll have to marry a woman and her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. This is her son's daughter. The Chorgoy, your stepson, is her son, and the daughter is her son's daughter. That's also Daraisi. What's that doing here in the list of Shnias? The answer is Mishum de Kabayil Misnei Sefer, because the next part the Braisa wanted to continue is Eishes Chorgoy Emeres Loch Ani Muteres Loch Uviti Asur Loch. That this oddity that the step the stepdaughter-in-law is allowed to marry you, but the step-granddaughter is not. That effectively what the Braisa is telling you, you should know, even though the daughter, your step-granddaughter, is also to your Daraisa, nevertheless, but me, the stepdaughter-in-law myself, even the Rabbanan didn't ask for that.
Stepdaughter is...
Not stepdaughter, stepdaughter-in-law. Stepdaughter-in-law is mutter, even midrabanan. But her daughter is also midaraisa.
Right.
So that's what we're saying. You shouldn't think, since the daughter is also daraisa, since the daughter, your step-granddaughter, is also daraisa, maybe her mother should be also midrabanan. No, we don't say that. We don't say that.
The wife of his stepson. Stepson is not his son.
Exactly, it's not his son. That's the point.
So he married the wife of his stepson.
Right, that's what we're saying.
But if she has a daughter,
then that's because the problem is that daughter is his wife's granddaughter, and the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a wife. You're not allowed to marry a woman and her granddaughter.
If they have a daughter, the problem.
If they have a daughter, then she's his daughter. That's a different issue.
No, the stepson has a daughter, but the problem is. That it's his wife's granddaughter,
right? Yeah, I told you this was going to be fun. So therefore, Tonoreshanami Baschogo. So therefore, the earlier part of the Braisa also mentions the daughter of your stepson. That's because we want to point out this oddity that the daughter of the stepson is also, but the stepson's wife herself is mutter. Question as the Hochi Aishus Khamivnami. In that case, then we should say the same thing about the father in law's wife. You could say Nami Tamer, she should also be able to say Animu Teraslach Ubiti Asuralach, I'm mutter to you, but my daughter is not. Because your father in law's daughter is gonna be your father in law's wife, her daughter is gonna be your wife's half sister. And your wife's half sister is also to you also. So you have another case like that where the mother is also and the daughter, where the mother is mutter and the daughter is also. Why don't we mention that? Why don't we mention that also? The answer is hop sikalei, holep sikalei. The difference is the case of the step granddaughter. It's an absolute thing. There's never a way that she can become mutter. The step mother in law's daughter. There is a way she can become mutter, namely if your wife dies. When your wife dies, you're allowed to marry her sister. So therefore, you can't say as a blanket statement that the stepmother-in-law is mutter and her daughter is always also, because there can indeed be a case where her daughter, your wife's half-sister, becomes mutter to you.
When your wife passes away.
Yeah. Omer Rav, Arab Nashim Yeshlahan Hefsek. Out of all these cases of shnius that we're talking about, there's four cases where there is a hefsek, where we don't. Some of these cases we say it goes on indefinitely. For example, when we said before that your mother's mother, your maternal grandmother is also to you, also her mother, all the way back. Similarly with a lot of the other ones. The Rambam puts it nicely that, for example, it also works the other way with great granddaughters. The Rambam puts it, for example, that the Yaakov Avinu would be also to marry any of our wives.
Would be pressed.
Yeah, but it's the principle of the thing, right?
Yeah,
good. Yeah, anyway. What we're saying over here is Arba Nashim Yeshlahan Hefsek. There are four women on this list where there is a Hefsek, where the Isser does not extend down indefinitely. It's only the one woman who's mentioned, but it does not extend to her daughters or whatever. Nakit Rav Yodei Tlas, and Rav had in his hands, meaning he knew what three of them were. But he didn't know the fourth. So some of Farshim say he didn't agree with the fourth. What are the three? Eshes Achi Ha'em Minav is your brother, your mother's brother on the father's side, his wife. So she's also as a shnius, but one generation back, for example, if it was, for example, your mother's uncle's wife, then that would be mutter. Number two, ve'eshes achi ha'av minayim. The second one is the father's wife of the father's brother, where their brother's on the mother's side.
mother's side, the brother.
So your father has a brother on his mother's side. His wife is a Shnia. But if you go back one further generation, if you had going back one further generation, first of all, her mother would be mutter. But second of all, also, for example, it would mean that your father's uncle's wife would be mutter.
And her sister.
What about her sister?
She would be.
I mean, you can't marry two sisters. But other than that, we're not really dealing. You know, here we're dealing with marital relations. The kalasa, and number three, your daughter-in-law. So you're not allowed to marry your daughter-in-law, but you are allowed to marry your daughters. You are allowed to marry your daughter-in-law's daughter. Well, that's how it seems right now. The Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute, your daughter-in-law is also deraisa.
I see.
So what are we talking about? So we'll amend that in a minute. Yeah. We'll talk about it in a minute. We're saying what we really mean over here, not kalasa, not his own daughter-in-law, but rather his daughter's daughter-in-law, for example, so his granddaughter-in-law. She's not his granddaughter. She's not related to him.
Granddaughter-in-law, right?
His granddaughter-in-law is also midrabbanon. We're saying that your great granddaughter-in-law though would be mutter. That's what we're saying.
Your daughter-in-law's.
Your daughter-in-law is also deraisa. Your granddaughter-in-law is your granddaughter-in-law is also derabbanan.
But your daughter-in-law's daughter surely is permitted to the daughter-in-law's daughter from not the husband.
Your daughter-in-law's daughter. Well, that's going to no. Your daughter-in-law's daughter. Well, yeah. If it's from a different marriage, yeah.
Different, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the three that Rav. Ziri Moisif Av Eishes Aviimo. Ziri also adds, you know, the fourth one, your mother's father's wife. Eishes Aviimo, your mother's father's wife, so your step grandmother on your mother's side. Omer of Nachmi Yitzchak. Nachmi Yitzchak says, "V'simanach." Your way to remember what the fourth one that Ziri added that Rav didn't agree with is the Eloi de Rav. He goes one generation beyond Rav. Rav is talking about ones that are two generations away from you. Ziri is adding one Rav is talking about ones that are one generation away from you, and Ziri is adding one more generation beyond that. Now, the question is, V'Rav my time elechashiv leis. So why doesn't Rav count that? Why doesn't he agree that that's the fourth one? Because he says mechalfo lebe'eshes avi aviv. He says that you can't say that there's a break over there. You can't say you can go anything beyond that. If we're going to allow you to go beyond your mother's father's wife, then you might instead mix it up with and go and marry your father's father's wife. They're both your step grandmother. That's what we're going to discuss on Amud Beis why it is that we have many of these shnias, because we're going to talk about, even though some of the idea with these shnias, some of them is because you can easily confuse them with one's daraisa. Other ones is because they may easily be confused with each other. For example, either of your grandmothers, really only your grandmother on your mother's side, your mother's mother, should be also a shnias, because your mother is also daraisa. Your father obviously is also deraisa, it's not relevant. So on the face of it, his mother ought to be mutter, there shouldn't be an issue of shniyas. We're going to discuss on other days, but the thing is, you think of both of them as your grandmother. So therefore, if you're allowed to marry one, you may come to marry the other one as well. And so it's not a gzera, it's all part of the same gzera. Here we're saying effectively the same thing. Your step-grandmother on either side, whether it's your mother's father's wife, your father's father's wife, either way, Rav figures they're pretty similar. So if we're going to ask one of them indefinitely, the other one should also be also indefinitely.
The father's father's wife is the Rabbanan.
Yeah, but what we're saying is, given that the Rabbanan are making the father's father's wife usher. Also indefinitely because there is the possibility of confusing with something that's actually also daraisa, then by the same token we should be saying by the mother's father's wife as well. who's the Iri? What would the Iri answer back to that? He would say, Lahasab Shriach Ba'adil. The difference is, it's very common that a person is going to go towards his father's family. A person gravitates more towards his father's family. A man, yeah. Gravitates more towards his father's family. He knows that they're more closely related to him. Like he hangs around with them more. Lahachalat Shriach Ba'adil, as opposed to his mother's side, not so much. So therefore, there's more reason. Therefore, there's more reason to say that by the mother's side, there should be a hefsek. We only are going to go back two generations, and you also, and then that's it. Beyond that, we're not going to worry about it. Because you're not going to come from that to marry somebody closer. Mashenkin on the father's side, he agrees, it'll go indefinitely because there's more of a chance that you'll end up marrying an erva on that side. Now, we said before that the third one on Rav's list was Kalasa, his daughter-in-law. And the question is, women, Kalasa Deraisi. Your daughter-in-law is also Deraisi. Just did Eva Kalas Kalei Tegale. So what do you mean? Why are we counting it among the Shnias, where we're saying Yeshla and Hefsek, that there's a break in it? Right. What we mean not your daughter-in-law, but your son's daughter-in-law. That there's a break in it in the sense the point of it is why are we saying that there's a break? Why do we say that it doesn't go on indefinitely? The reason is because there's no possibility on that side that you're going to end up with somebody who's also Daraisa. Your son's daughter-in-law. So what are we going to think? You're going to go back one generation. Your son is not also to you as an heir. Your son is it's not relevant. So therefore, there's no reason to ask there any further than that. All the cases where we're saying Ein Lahan Hefsek, where it goes on indefinitely, is because as you get closer and closer down the family tree, closer back to yourself, there is an Erva Daraisa somewhere in there. Here, there's no Erva Daraisa anywhere. So you might ask, wait a minute, Vakalas B'noi Yesh LaHefsek. You're telling me that with the son's daughter-in-law, there's a Hefsek, that only the son's daughter-in-law is also, but, for example, her children would be mutter, or the next generation's daughter-in-law would be mutter. V'hatanya, but we learn a b'raisa, Kalasa Erva, his daughter-in-law is an Erva d'araisa, Kalas B'noi Shnia, the son's daughter-in-law is a Shnia, V'chein ata omer b'noi, ben b'noi atzai kaladuris. And so it goes with your son and your grandson until all generations. Your daughter-in-law, as far down as you go, is also. Ella Amos, no, rather not the daughter-in-law of your son, but rather Kalas Bitoi, the daughter-in-law of your daughter. That's the one that has a hefsek.
No, it goes on. Why did the
Gemara change it from Benoit to Bitoi? Because we had a Braisa that said that Benoit keeps on going, but Bitoi, we're saying there's no reason to. You can say that the daughter obviously is also Jaraisa, but her daughter-in-law is only also Midrabanan, and her granddaughter-in-law is mutter completely. The Amr of Chista, because we find Rav Chista said, "Hom milsim igaver Rav Shmieli." I heard the following from a great person, Umanu Rabami. This was Rabami that he said, "Loi osu kala elamipne kala." They only asked one kala because of another one daughter-in-law because of another daughter-in-law. Now, but Amrili Kaldoi. Now, the storgazer had told me, Rav Chista says, "Malfana havis, you're going to be a teacher." So what does a teacher mean? A teacher could be that he's teaching the rabbim, or it can be that he's a school teacher, a malamed. Amina, so I thought to myself, Igaber Rabba Habina, if I'm going to be a great man, meaning a great Talmud Chacham, Asbro Midaiti, then I'll work on understanding on my own. Imikli Daudik Yavina, if my fate is that I'm going to be a school teacher, a Mlamed, Ashayla Mirabanan, da also the Beit Nishta, and then I'll ask it from the Rabbanan who come to Shul, because then I won't be able to understand it on my own. Actually, the Aruch Haner says, interesting, the Aruch Haner says that the cause and effect is the other way around. He's saying to himself, as like a simon, if I manage to figure out what Rav Ami meant by this cryptic statement, like Osu Kala El Mishum Kala, that'll be a simon to myself that I'm destined to be a Gavra Rabba. If I can't figure it out, then it means I'm destined to be a school teacher. Yeah. Yes, that's the Mephoshim talk about that we learned Sachim that also Lusha Makaldi, that Minayan Shane Sheldon Makaldiim. How do we know you're not supposed to ask stargazers? And basically, either the answer is there's different kinds of Chaldeim, there can be stargazers versus other kinds of fortune tellers or whatever, or another explanation that's given is you may not be supposed, you're not supposed to ask them to some Tiyim Hashem Alekecha, but if they tell you, you should pay attention to what they're saying. Yeah. That's the astrologers of those times who actually knew what they're doing. The ones nowadays, they're called Chaldeans, in English. Yeah. But the ones nowadays, you know, it's just in here.
We do have a story in the Gemara, but even those who didn't know, treat them well, they give you a different...
That's a different thing. That was dreams.
We're talking about stargazers.
Yeah.
Then back then, they were talking to guys from New Orleans, the king, saying,
yeah.
They knew the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So he says, Hashta Savar to Midaiti. Now I've taka figured it out on my own. What does he mean? Loi osu, kalas bitoi elamishum kalas b'noi. Why b'chlal did the Chachamim ask their your daughter's daughter-in-law? After all, there's no daughter-in-law on that side of the family who's osir, because your daughter can't have a wife by definition. So why is your daughter-in-law's daughter osir? Elamishum kalas b'noi. Only because you might confuse her with your son's daughter-in-law. Where there, your son's own wife, your own daughter-in-law, is also Daraisa. That's what it means by also Kala Mishum Kala. So therefore, there's logic to say your son's daughter-in-law should be also at the Seif Kala Daraisa, so your great-great-great-great-grandson's daughter, your daughter-in-law or wife, whatever, is still also to you, because if you keep on going up the tree, eventually you get to your son's wife, your own daughter-in-law, which is also Daraisa. On your daughter's side, there's no such thing. By definition. So therefore, your daughter's daughter-in-law will be also the Rabbanon, but not beyond that. Your granddaughter's daughter-in-law will be mutter.
So, following that logic, why is the Rabbanon prohibit the first generation, the daughter's daughter-in-law?
Because the daughter's daughter-in-law is too easily confused with a regular daughter-in-law. Or maybe with the daughter herself, I don't know.
Three generations? No. Yeah. One generation, you could say yes.
Now, what do we mean? What kind of thing are we talking about where a person might confuse two different kinds of daughters-in-law? Amalei Abaye l'Rava, so Abaye says to Rava, as for Alok, let me explain to you an example. For example, the daughters-in-law of the house of Baut Sitoi, he had sons and daughters who had daughters-in-law, in other words, he had grandchildren on both sides who were married. And there's an example where it's possible to confuse them. Rapapa says, for example, the daughters-in-law of Rapapa's household, Rapapa Ba'aba, which is not the same as Rapapa himself. Rabashi Ramakagan Kalsa Debe Mori Bar Isak. And Rabashi says, for example, the daughters-in-law of Mori Bar Isak. In all these families, they had daughters-in-law and sons. They had daughters-in-law on the daughter's side, and, you know, the granddaughters-in-law on the daughter's side and on the son's side. So before we talk about it, why do we need three different examples? Rashi just says that Rashi. Tosfos rather says each one used an example of a well-known family in their time that had such a thing. Some of Foshim talk about that. Actually, no. What the Gemara means to say maybe is it doesn't apply across the board. Only if you have a person who has both sons and daughters who have daughters-in-law, then we're going to ask for it because you might confuse one with the other. If a person happens to have, for example, only sons who have daughters-in-law, then maybe we're not going to, or only daughters who have daughters-in-law, rather, maybe we're not going to ask for them. Some other Mephoshim say, no, we don't make distinctions like that. Some Mephoshim also say yet another explanation. Some Mephoshim say the difference is each of these three families, everybody lived together. Unlike usually the daughter's family moves away and lives someplace else. Here they all live together in the same household, therefore there's more possibility of confusion. Lamai said the halacha is there's no such distinction. A daughter's daughter-in-law is always also, a son's daughter-in-law is always also, a grandson's daughter-in-law is always also, etc. Ibarilu. Now they had a question. We mentioned on Amud Aleph that you have your mother's brother on her father's side, or your father's brother on his mother's side, both of them, their wives are also derabanan. What about Ibarilu? Eshes achiha em mina emahu. What about your mother's brother on her mother's side?
Your mother's brother on her mother's side only.
We said your mother's brother on her father's side, and her half brother on her father's side, his wife is also derabanan. Fine. What about when there's no father involved at all? There's your mother's. Your grandmother. Your mother's mother had two children, your mother and your uncle, from two different fathers, so they only share the same mother. His wife, would she be also as a shnias? Do we say Eishes Achiyah Av Mina Ein Veishes Achiyah Ein Mina Av the Ikatzad Av Hu Degal Zerabanan? Maybe only when there's a father involved, one way or the other. Because what does the Torah say? Your father's brother's wife, with his brother only on his father's side, is also Daraisa. So fine, then we're going to say, once your father's brother's wife on his father's side is also, so fine, we'll also say his brother on his mother's side, his wife is also Dirabanan. Similarly, on your mother's side, you'll say that her brother on her father's side, his wife will be also Dirabanan, because you might confuse them. But where there's no father involved at all, where it's your mother's brother on her mother's side, his wife, maybe there shouldn't be a problem. Maybe when there's no father involved, then maybe the Rabbanan are not Gozer. Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Amr of Safra, of course it should be Mutter. He Gufagzera, the whole concept we're saying of the father's half-brother on his mother's side, or the mother's half-brother on her father's side, that itself is Gzera. It's all Shnias. Are we going to now go and make Gzera on top of Gzera? You don't do that. Amar Rava, so Rava says, so what are you talking about? Alter kulu lav gzeira l'gzeira ninu. Why? We have a whole bunch of shniyas which are gzeira l'gzeira. For example, imay erva, your mother is an erva daraisa. Im imay shniya, your mother's mother is a shniya. Now, by rights, like we said before, your father's mother ought to be mutter, because there's no possibility that there's no generation below that that's alter to you. The generation below that is your father. The Gozrel, aim of him, Mishum, aim imay. What are we saying? That with Gozer, you're not allowed to marry your father's wife, because you're your father's mother, because you might get confused and marry your mother's mother. And your mother's mother herself is only also Dirabanan. The time am I. So it's one Dirabanan to safeguard another Dirabanan. So why taka do we do that? But time am I? Because Kuludve, Imarabsi Karole, because they're both your grandmothers. You call them both grandma. So therefore, it's too easy to get confused. If the din is you're allowed to marry a grandmother, you're going to get confused, and you're going to get confused and marry either kind of grandmother. In other words, it's not a gzera on top of a gzera; it's two parts of the same gzera. Similarly, Ashes aviv erva, your father's wife, when it's not your mother, of course, is an erva. Ashes avi aviv shnia, your grandfather's wife is a shnia. And we said, we're saying with Gozer that your mother's father's wife is also because of your father's wife. And again, the time am I, what's the logic? Because again, you think of them both as your grandfather's wife. It's your grandfather's wife, regardless of the side, one side or the other, and therefore they're too easily confused. And another example, Eishas Achia Av Mina Av Erva, your father's brother on his father's side, his wife is an Erva Mina Torah, Erva El Ishta Le Sikra Vde Daschahi. Eishas Achia Eim Mina Av Shnia, we're saying that if it's only your father's brother on his mother's side, then his wife is a Shnia. The Gozrel Eishas Achia Eim Mina Av Mishum Eishas Achia Av and we're saying that we're Gozer on your mother's brother on her father's side, because that may be confused with your father's brother on his mother's side.
Yes.
So we see that there are all examples where we're Gozer Gzera to safeguard another Gzera, but it's not really to safeguard another Gzera, it's two parts of the same Gzera. The time am I, and what's the logic? Mishum Dekulu Debe Dodi Kodulu, because you think of them all as your uncle's wife. As your step aunt. So therefore, by the same token, your mother's brother, even though it's a brother only on the mother's side, he's also your uncle, and therefore his wife is also thought of as an aunt. It should be the same thing, in other words. Okay, so what's the bottom line? Toshma, deki aser of Yehuda bar Shila amar. When Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said a general rule. Amri b'mar Rava. They say the following general rule in Eretz Yisrael. Kol shebin dekeva erva, in any case where a certain relative, if she's female, would be an erva deraisa, v'zacha gozra lishti mishum shnia. Then if that same relative is a male instead, then his wife is also as a shnia. And before we get to how that's relevant to us, v'omar Rava, and Rava asks, kolahu, is that really a general rule? I can find exceptions. Chamoisoi erva, your mother-in-law is an erva, but eishes chomer muteres. But we said before, your father-in-law's wife is muter. So we see you have your wife's parent, your wife's female parent is also daraisa, but her male parent's wife is muter. So there's an exception to that. Similarly, bas chamoisoi erva, your mother-in-law's daughter is an erva, eishes ben chamoisoi muteres. But if your mother-in-law instead has a son, then his wife is mutter. That your sister's sister-in-law is mutter. Bas chomiv erva, your father-in-law's daughter is an erva. Eishes ben chomiv muteres, but your father-in-law's son's wife is mutter. Chiragta erva, your stepdaughter, we said before, is an erva because it's your wife's daughter. Eishes choga muteres, but we said before, your stepson's wife is muter. Bas choragta erva, another example is your stepdaughter's daughter is an erva because she's the granddaughter of your wife. And eishes ben choga muteres, but yet we see that your stepson's wife is muter. So we have many. So we have a number of exceptions to that. So the Hodur of Yehuda Bar Shila Isuyimai. So in that case, we have to ask, so what is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila coming to add with this rule of his? Lav le'isuyi, eisha sachia eminaim. Doesn't it come to include the case that we're discussing over here about your mother's brother on her mother's side, his wife? The kolshim nekeva erva. Here we would apply the rule that if it was a female, she herself would be erva. The zacha gozu ishti mishum shnia. Then since it's a male instead, then we're gozer on his wife mishum shnia. So, in other words, if your mother had a sister on her mother's side, she would be an erva to you. So by the same logic, if she has a brother on her mother's side, his wife should also be an erva to you. The question is, so that tells us that yes, the mother's brother on her mother's side, his wife is also not as an erva, as a shnia. So all the possible cases of an uncle on either side, one of them is also Daraisa, two of them, and the other three are also with Shnias.
This just so-called rule, general rule, cloud of Yehuda Bar Shila, it's difficult to understand why he calls the rule.
One second, that's the Gemara's question now. Maishna hai hani or maishna ha, so what's back of the difference? Why do we have those four or five exceptions that Rava mentioned versus all of a sudden now we're applying the rule? The reason is habachad kiddushin mekayiv la, because in this case that we're talking about over here, there's only one act of kiddushin that's needed in order to make her your relative. You were mekadesh. Your father was mekadesh your mother. Your mother's brother's wife. How is she a relative of yours? All your uncle had to do was be mekadesh her. And automatically she's your relative. Hani adi ikatre kiddushin le mekadesh her. Whereas in the cases that we mentioned that are all exceptions, you need two kiddushin in order to make him related to you. For example, we said that your father-in-law's wife is mother. Because why? You need to have, first of all, you have to have been mekadesh your own wife. And second of all, your father-in-law had to have been mekadesh this woman. So therefore, there's two conditions involved. Yeah. Sounds like they're davening mired about there, so I guess let's...
In a sense, all of these cases, you need more than one condition. In order for somebody to be your uncle, your grandfather also has to get...
No, we're not talking about that. No, because and it doesn't... No, they didn't have to be married, for example. If your mother could have a brother outside of marriage also, and she'd still be... Yeah. Yeah, look, hold on to these. We're going to still need them tomorrow as well, yeah?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
That's the thing.
I'm bringing it, my homework.